He's back and all.
If you have your Bible, if I can turn to Psalm 98.
I might get a little animated here, so don't be afraid. Okay. Psalm 98.
Yeah.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, anybody who has a Bible, you'll notice if you read the Psalms, the beginning of a lot of Psalms oftentimes has a word or two. Like, it'll say Psalm 98, and then it'll have a couple of just like subscript words after that. Like, sometimes it'll say a Psalm of David or, you know, different stuff like that. Anybody's Bible say anything after Psalm 98? Yeah, that's what mine says too. Really? It's Psalm 98 and it's a psalm. How about that? And you read it a little bit and you figure out pretty quick. Yeah, it's a psalm of praise. Not much description. There was somebody at North Leo this morning. We shared the same text. And their Bible said anonymous. Psalm 98, anonymous. Wow, that's quite something. If you want to, turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16. They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second. Then come several names which are hard to pronounce. They were to play the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, the miracles and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch My anointed ones. Do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. Sound familiar? Yeah. Pretty similar, really, the two psalms, with one difference. Did anybody pick up on what the difference is? I mean, they're not exactly verbatim texts, but they follow very similar theme. Did anybody pick up on one big difference? In David's psalm, he proclaims to the people, sing to the Lord. Sing a song of thanksgiving. Sing for joy. How does Psalm 98 go? Anybody? Quick, trying to look back. Psalm 98 says, sing a new song. Sing a new song. Singing a new song is harder than it sounds. Right? Now, there's the part that's real in terms of, okay, if you guys were to lead a song that nobody'd ever sung before, yeah, we'd have maybe a hard time singing along with it. There's that part of it that's hard to sing a new song. But if you've ever known a songwriter or an artist or anybody who expressed themselves artistically, and you were to talk with them about the creative process that they go through, most would probably say, yeah, there's some things that you just kind of create and it's just whatever, but the things that are really authentic, that are really genuine, they come from a much deeper place. And sometimes you have to spend hours, days, weeks, months, years peeling away all of this other stuff so that you can get to the one thing that just resonates, that just hums with life. And then you know you have something. Maybe you've seen this in a work of art. Maybe you've seen this in a film. Has anybody ever seen a film that moved you to tears? Yeah? You know they're paid actors, right? They have a script. They've got camera, lights, microphone, like, you know that, and they produce this thing that you're watching for money, right? You know that, right? And yet, somehow, you can get just caught up in it, and things happen in a particular way, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 like your little heartstrings just get plucked just so, and you're just caught up in it, and, like, okay, I'm going to let you in. Okay. Anybody here Forrest Gump fans at all? Like the movie Forrest Gump? I love the movie Forrest Gump. I don't watch it terribly often, but especially when it came out, it was just like, I loved this film. And there is this moment when Jenny has died, and Forrest is sitting by her grave under the tree, and he's telling her about their son. And in the midst of telling her about his son, he chokes up, and he goes, and he's so smart, Jenny. And his voice cracks. And every single time I watch it, every time, it's a made-up story. It's fiction. And Tom Hanks is an actor who I've seen in lots of other things. And yet in this moment, there's something authentic about what happens, and I find myself caught up in it, and I tear up. Most of the time they run, and I can't hardly shut it off. It's like, yeah, it's a, for whatever reason, that one gets me. Maybe you have your own, you know, things that get you. Have you ever had a song that gets you? Like, if you've ever had a breakup or a broken heart, you listen to country music, right? Because country music's all about rodeos and breaking up. I mean, that's like what the whole thing is. For whatever reason, then that kind of meets you where you are, and some people go, yeah. And so there's some music that just kind of meets you where you are. There's other music that takes you somewhere. So have you ever listened to a song that took you from one place to another? Like, Have you ever heard a worship song where maybe you weren't necessarily feeling very worshipful, but then this song was played or sung or whatever, and all of a sudden you were transported with it, and you were just, now I'm worshiping. I didn't feel worshipful, and now all of a sudden I'm worshiping. I mean, maybe it's an old hymn, maybe it's a new song. It could be anything, but somehow it takes hold of us, and it brings us somewhere. There's a way in which art and expression and the heart level stuff, when it's authentic, you really know it. When it's not authentic, you really know it. And this invitation to sing a new song is a really tall order. And we may not think so, but it's a really, really tall order. Because there are just times when you just might not feel like singing. And there are certainly times when maybe you don't feel like giving thanks. Maybe you don't feel like praising. That was true for David, too. I mean, he wrote plenty of psalms of lament, and there's a right and proper place for that. But I think within our culture, there is a huge opportunity to get stuck in that. So as you, by the way, Happy New Year. As you reflect on your 2015, what themes are the strongest? You know, I mean, like, what things from last year really stick with you the most? And I'm sure each of us have our own stories. And hopefully your story has joy and thanksgiving within it. But perhaps there's also other stuff in there. Anybody experience any relational challenges in 2015? Anybody have any relationships that were strained? Maybe some that broke? Anybody have any time in 2015 when you were afraid? Terrorism's kind of a big deal right now. Can't hardly turn on the news or read a newspaper or look at your phone or anything else without some new thing that's happened somewhere. Some of them very close to home, some of them far off, right? So acts of terror happening around, like, can cause us to just kind of be fearful what's going on. Anybody have to work through any issues in 2015? Like, are there any issues? Like, any at all? Zero. Hey. I'm trying new places, man. Yeah. So let me ask you, in a moment like that that's pretty scary and pretty unnerving on many fronts, you know, and not the type of thing that's over right away either, because now you're going to go back to that place the next day. You can go back to that place the day after that, so that's something that's going to stay with you. In that space, how do these words strike you? Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wondrous things. Kind of tricky, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You wonder why I flipped over and read from 1 Chronicles 16? Besides just to say, hey, look, here's another psalm that's very similar. And that, like, in 1 Chronicles 16, we know who wrote that psalm, right? Who was that? Come on. What? Who? David. Yeah. It was David. Anybody want to trade places with David in his life? No. Now, this is man after God's own heart, right? So you got that going for him. But at the same time, let's see here. Had an affair that was really probably pretty ugly, that thing that happened, and then killed the lady's husband to try to cover that up, and that didn't work so well. How many wives did he have? Yeah. How many others that weren't his wives did he have? Like, okay. And then how did he spend kind of the twilight, the last part of his life? On the run? On the run, trying to avoid being killed most of the time, right? I mean, awesome, right? But he's the one who says, sing the Lord a new song. He's done wondrous things. My point is simply this. Whether you've had an experience at work that was unnerving and violent and scary, whether you've had a relationship that was tense or broken or worse, whether you've experienced divisiveness, whether it's in the home or in the church or in the state or in the country or in the world, whether you've experienced fear because of things that have gone on around you, like, there's any number of excuses that we can come up with for why we shouldn't have to sing a new song. Because there's all sorts of stuff. And the thing is, when we focus on that stuff, a lot of times we end up in a place where we say, you know what, I just don't feel like singing. I just don't feel like singing. God, you just don't understand. Here's the thing. When we say no to God about singing a new song, the only thing we're guaranteed is that we're not going to experience any transformation. When we decide that, nope, I'm not doing that, the only thing that we know isn't going to happen is we're not going to experience anything new and transforming. It's the only guarantee that we have in that. And many of us, either for ourselves or people around us, we know people who've gotten stuck in that place, right? Where something happened and that one thing became consuming. And most of us, while we can maybe multitask a little bit, when we're consumed by something, that's the one thing that has us. So if we're given to fear, we're not able to give ourselves to God and to hope and to promise and to opportunity. If we're given to anger, then we're not given to grace. If we're given to whatever negative thing has happened, then we're unable to give ourselves to God's presence. And we say, I can't sing a new song. And here's the thing that I want you to think about. Because, like, New Year's, the ball dropping in New York City has very little to do with what goes on in our lives, right? I mean, besides maybe staying up a little bit later than you usually do, and maybe getting together with some friends, or maybe going to bed early. I don't know what any of you guys do, but, you know, like, besides any of those things, the New Year itself doesn't change anything. But it is an opportunity for us to pause and reflect on the road and path that we are walking and to choose whether or not we continue to walk that path or whether we need to make an adjustment. If you want your 2016 to be any different from your 2015, then you're going to have to make different choices. And my argument is that you're going to have to sing a new song. You're going to have to intentionally focus on who God is and what God has done in your life. and choose to be consumed by those things. Because if you don't, you will by default be consumed by other things. And those other things will not bring you life. It doesn't even matter if they're a good thing. If it's a good thing, but it's not God, it's not the best thing that you can be dwelling upon and focusing upon, and it's not going to bring you life. Sing to the Lord a new song. Strip away all of the layers, all of the stuff, everything that builds up. Because here's the thing. All of the negative and bad, difficult, challenging, trying things that happened in 2015, things that made you afraid, things that divided you from other people, issues that you had to face, all of these different things that are behind you, there are that many more waiting ahead of you. There always is. Sometimes we fixate on this issue or this person or this problem or this whatever, and we think if I can just solve this one thing, then everything will be right. Does it ever work out that way? No, why not? Because there is always something else. And before long, we are just consumed with all the things we are against instead of all the things we are for. When perhaps instead we could choose a different way. We could choose to dwell upon the marvelous things God has done, which, when you're in a difficult place, takes an extraordinary amount of work. When you're in a really tough spot, when you are someplace where your heart is broken or you're hurting or you're afraid or you're whatever, focusing upon the wonder and majesty and holiness of God is hard work. Because all of those other things are trying their hardest to own you. And you have to try your hardest to give yourself to something else. To give yourself to God again in a new way. Have you ever noticed that when you're trying to move ahead with something, or when you're trying to get on top, when you're trying to work towards something, as you're working towards this thing that's ahead of you, there's always something else that's trying to keep you where you are or pull you back? Like, no matter what it is in your life, if you feel like you're getting ahead, there's something else that's kind of trying to push you down. If you're starting to make things right, there's something else that goes wrong. Like, no matter what it is, there's always this push against. Always. And if you want to sing a new song, if you want to give praise and glory to God, if you want your heart to be consumed by the saving grace of Christ, then it's not just something that you do in this moment. It can't just be something that happens. No, it's about this ongoing discipline. To sing to God a new song. Strip away all of the layers of other stuff so that you can take hold of the one thing you really want with both hands. You can take hold of the one thing you want because you're not busy clenching to all this other stuff. Allow that which is most important to truly be most important. And cling to it. Because other things are going to come. Other issues are going to come up. Other arguments are going to happen. Other things will make you afraid. Other things will seek to own you. And if you're not already owned by the one who loves you and saves you and sustains you, then you will so easily be shaken. You will so easily be knocked off. As a church, as a gathering, we are called to be a reflection of God's grace. A light on a hill, right? And Scripture has plenty of language about this, but you don't put a light under a basket, right? You put it up on a pole for all to see so that it shines. And that kind of light is not saying, hey, look at how good we are. This light is shining, saying, hey, we are consumed by something else, and it is bringing joy. It's good. It's lovely. As everything else is proclaiming fear, anger, separation, anxiety, the community of God is the one that proclaims that you are loved, that you are held, that God is with you, that God will not forsake you, that you're not in this alone, that you're saved, that you're empowered, that the Spirit is within you, that the path you're walking, you're not walking it alone? That the issues you face, you're not facing them alone? That not only is God with you, but God has called you into community of people who care about you, who love you, who will walk with you, who will hold you up when it's tough to stand on your own? All of these things are the things that the church is to be consumed by and reflect. And I would argue that as you look across the landscape of our country and of our world, it's not what the church has been known for lately. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. Sing to God a word of praise, a word of thanksgiving. Shout for joy, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. That language of all of creation worshiping and praising. What did Jesus say during the triumphal entry? When He's heading into the cities and the Pharisees said, you need to silence your followers. What did He say? He said, if I silence them, even the stones will cry out. If I silence them, even the stones are going to praise. This notion of all of God's creation humming with worship and glory and thanksgiving unto God. And you and me are invited to be a part of that, to step into it. Which means when we say, you know what? I don't really feel like singing. We are so missing out on what is going on around us all the time. The rivers roaring, as the song goes, right? And the trees of the field will clap their hands. Nobody did it? Oh, man. Right? Does anybody know that song? All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Like this notion that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're up against, no matter how difficult or hard or painful it seems, that there is always, always something beautiful and worthy and righteous and good happening at the same time. And you can choose which one you're consumed by. You can choose which one you focus on. You can choose which one you give yourself to. And God will never force you to do it, but He will always invite you. He will always invite you more and more to be a part of this. I think we're going to share in communion. And I talked about this a little bit the first Sunday in December, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit differently today. See, this thing about communion, and I think I shared this with you a month ago, is that there's two things happening at the same time, right? There is a holiness to it, where we are giving thanks and honor. Like there's a ritual to it that helps us recognize that the divine is with us in a way that goes beyond words, that is greater than us. This space where we can encounter the God who is high and lifted up, who is almighty, who is from everlasting to everlasting. There's the other part of communion, when we recognize how it was instituted, when Jesus really taught the disciples to do it, that it happened at the dinner table, after they'd already had a meal. So Jesus and His disciples had enjoyed this meal, and this delicious meal. I mean, some say the Passover meal, right? And they're sitting there, they've given thanks to God, they've celebrated what God has done, and they're reclined at the table. And you can imagine the table as they've just had this meal. So there's bits and scraps and leftovers and cups that are half full and half empty, depending on how you look at it, right? And there's loaves and there's all this other stuff that's on the table. And it's in that space, as they're all sitting together and going, oh, that was good. That was good. That Jesus picks up some of the bread on the table, gives thanks for God's providence, God's goodness, God's mercy, and says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How often do you sit at the table? How often do you have a meal? Jesus says, every time you break bread, remember what I have done. Jesus says, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. What do we do more than eat? I mean, it's like, especially in this country, right? Like, we're kind of consumed with food. We have holidays for food. You know, I mean, like, we just love, we have friends over just to have food. You know, food is a big part of it. And Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. There are times in which we really need to dwell upon the holiness of God. And I think there's other times when we really need to dwell on the very presence of God with us in the midst of our lives. Not just in the midst of a ritual or in the midst of a ceremony, but in the midst of our lives. Perhaps in 2016, it would do all of us good to take communion 3 times a day. To every time we sit down to eat, to do the discipline of remembering what Christ has done for us, remembering the relationship that He has extended to us, remember the salvation that is ours. Because in the same way, He took the cup, and after He had given thanks and blessed it, He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Drink of it, all of you. Was this invitation to remember how loved we are, and also that this is an active relationship. This is not a past tense thing that happened to us. This is an active thing that is happening within us. A relationship with God. A connection with the divine. Perhaps for each and every one of us, if we want to sing a new song, if we want to proclaim something new, we just might need to remember what God has done and is doing a bit more frequently. So with that, I want to invite you to pray with me and invite those sharing with this communion to come and offer it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we confess before you our brokenness. We confess before you that oftentimes we have been consumed by things other than you. We confess before you that we sin and we don't always love you with our whole hearts. But it is our desire, O God, to be wholly yours. It is our desire to be consumed by you. And so as we come to this table, we remember who you are and what you have done. We ask, O God, once again, that you would forgive us, renew us, and lead us. That you would help us and empower us to be your people. That your grace would fall upon us and we might walk in new life. Remind us this day of who you are. Remind us of the name. Thank you.
Thank you.